Stalinist Kim Jong-il has brought North Korea into the nuclear club. Headlines ask, who can stop him now? Now that we know they have the nuclear devices, we ask, what does this mean? You're listening to Longitude. It's Tuesday, October 24th, 2006, and I'm Darris McNeely. The 4.2 magnitude blast back on October 9th came in blatant defiance of world opinion and broke its promise made several years ago not to develop nuclear technology. The result is a scary new world that has sent diplomats into scramble mode. It took several days for the United Nations Security Council to impose more sanctions on North Korea, sanctions that included a ban, if you can believe it, on luxury goods, as if limiting sales of Louis Vuitton handbags in Pyongyang will change their present course. The great fear is that other nations, Iran being first in line, will develop the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. Reports speculate that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey may also push ahead with plans to develop a nuclear bomb. One former United States Defense Department official said, quote, "The North Korean test blew a hole in the non-proliferation regime of Northeast Asia. I think this is bad news for the country, bad news for the region, and bad news for the world," end of quote. Of immediate concern is whether the North Koreans' bomb would provoke South Korea and Japan to go nuclear. For decades, both nations have enjoyed safety, peace, and economic security under the protective umbrella of American military force. United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice traveled to Japan and South Korea, reaffirming the strategic relationship and the promise of American protection. Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Aso said that Japan, quote, "is absolutely not considering a need to be armed by nuclear weapons." This stance may change if the growing nationalistic feelings within Japan continue to rise. Newly installed Prime Minister Shinzo Abe leads a new breed of leaders not shackled by feelings of war guilt. In fact, the day Mr. Aso made this statement, he testified to a parliamentary committee that Japan should begin debating going nuclear. Quote, "The reality is that it is only Japan that has not discussed possessing nuclear weapons, and all other countries have been discussing it. Other high-ranking Japanese officials have also called for an open debate on the issue." Will America promote a nuclear Japan? World reaction will be interesting to watch. For the most part, Japan has adhered to the non-militarized portions of its post-war constitution. But it is a dynamic economy, a model Asian democracy, and America's closest and most dependable ally after Great Britain. This last fact will be key to world reaction should Japan announce its intention to develop a nuclear bomb. What about China's role? What's the role of China, the economic giant, in this Asian mix? Well, China's long-term ambitions are well served by North Korea playing the bad boy role. China has been content for North Korea to be part of President Bush's axis of evil. This creates a convenient buffer between China and the American client states of South Korea and Japan. Both countries have American troops stationed within their borders and represent a significant obstacle to China's ambition to dominate Asia. China does not fear a nuclear North Korea. Its nukes, that is, North Korea's nuclear weapons, are pointed east, not west. But a nuclear Japan would alter the equation. China seems to have a longer memory of Japan's war atrocities than those in the West, and the prospect of Japan holding the nuclear weapon strikes a chilling chord of fear within the Chinese soul. If it comes down to a choice of North Korea or Japan in the nuclear club, China could pull the plug on its support for North Korean nukes. This may be the only way to reverse North Korea's current path. China's desire to remove American influence from Asia is a long-held strategic goal. It moves relentlessly forward through many methods to dominate Asia, remove American influence, and secure its ancient belief of the primary power, that is, China being the primary power, at the center of the earth. It has deliberately allowed North Korea to develop the bomb despite requests from America to prevent it from happening. China supplies North Korea with many of the components for its missile program and weapons of mass destruction. China also provides Korea with the majority of its fuel oil and its food. Now let's look at Russia. The key to the immediate crisis is the United States nuclear umbrella and the perception of American power to hold together the present world order. If American influence and power retreats, the resultant vacuum would encourage further nuclear proliferation and threaten international security. Many nations already see American military involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq as a window of opportunity to flex their muscles and political will. This is what North Korea has done in recent weeks. Russia is doing the same in blockading air, rail, sea, and postal services to the Republic of Georgia, which is a United States ally. Over a series of recent espionage allegations, that's the main reason. While seemingly insignificant, this problem between Russia and Georgia illustrates Russia's boldness in the face of American preoccupation in Iraq. Russia feels it could move at will to secure its own interests, even when they conflict with those of the United States. The net effect is a weakening of American power. Add to this the prospect of President George Bush becoming hamstrung by Democrats should they win control of one or both houses of Congress in this fall's national elections. Democrats, if they have control of both houses of Congress, could block the president's foreign policy goals through their budgetary control. Seeing this, other nations would have, or feel they have, a green light to push their agendas in critical regions of the world. So we have to ask, are we seeing a decline in American power? What's the solution? Is it just more guns or more butter that's really at the heart of the issue? Will changing the political leadership alter the fortunes of the nation? Sadly, the answer is no. The problems are spiritual in nature, requiring a radical departure from the nation's current moral course. Regardless of the outcome of the November elections, this trend of shifting world power will continue. The results will be a far different world than you and I have come to know. North Korea's nuclear bomb blast means the world situation is heating up, and we are living in momentous times. Other nations see gray hairs upon the American empire and are relentlessly moving to change the course of modern history. Bible prophecy shows a coming time of trial for America, Great Britain, and other English-speaking nations who have received great national and material blessings. The national sins of ingratitude has led our peoples to forget that the God of Abraham has provided us the material blessings that we enjoy. America has a veneer of spirituality, but God's word tells us that is not enough to merit continued protection and blessing. For too long, America has held the view that its exceptional position in the world is the result of its democratic form of capitalism alone. For too long, America has worn its brand of spirituality like a protective blanket of security, yet it leads the world in exporting immorality via various media forms. For too long, America has forgotten that God is the source of its national blessings. He will soon call it to account for its sins. The words of Jeremiah, God's prophet to Judah in its final days, apply to the scene before us today in America. Let me read from Jeremiah chapter 2. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you, God says. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah 2, verse 19. You know, like Judah, America trusts as well in a hollow spiritual veneer that ignores God's law, which is the basis of true spirituality. Failing to embrace that will surely bring on God's judgment. Going back to Jeremiah, he stood in front of the Jerusalem temple, the symbol of Judah's religious life, and warned the Jews going in and out of the temple not to trust in tradition of the past for their immediate physical safety. Quoting again from Jeremiah, the prophet was inspired by God to say, quote, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, for the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. That's from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 3 to 11. God foretold the collapse of their world order that they felt was so strong and secure. He said that it would collapse unless they repented and changed. Going on in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 20, God said on another occasion, quote, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched." America, Great Britain, and other Western nations are walking the same path of ancient Israel and Judah. We are watching the beginning phases of a sea change on the world scene. It may not happen next month or next year, but it's taking place according to ancient prophecies revealed in your Bible. Our free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Bible Prophecy, which you can read online through WNPOnline.org or request your own free copy, this booklet will explain the subject that I'm talking about here in greater depth. Read it to understand what lies ahead and for greater insight into these momentous events of today's world. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.